We are in Psalm 27. The first four verses of that chapter, David is writing. And the words he has here, you may have heard them in a chorus or two, but he also says something very appropriate and introduces a principle to us in the faith that will help us if we'll learn it and practice it. Here's what he writes, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. This one thing will I be confident, that I will seek the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes we get into Your presence and we need to hear from You a word. And when we do, it transforms us. So Lord, speak a word to us now. Let Your work be in us, that Your word would not return void, but would do what it needs to do. I ask You, Lord, as we gather now, that that would be done. That which we need to hear, speak it now. I thank You and I praise You. I give You the glory, Lord, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Do we have in this room any aviators? Pilots? Anybody? You're a pilot?
Was one.
All right. And do... John, okay. And do we have anybody who ever, I guess you'd say, piloted? Captain, a large ocean-going vessel. Anybody? Okay, well, let me tell you, there's something they have in common on those two different type of vessels, an airplane and a ship. They both have autopilots. Did you know that a ship has autopilot? It does. And if y'all who are two fellows who've been a pilot will know this, that before you ever fly in an airliner anywhere, you have to log your flight plan with the FAA. You have to also determine if it's VFR or IFR, which means instrument, or you can fly visually, which flight rules are in place. And then once you log the flight plan, then they know what that little blip is on the radar and what plane number it is. So they don't say, we don't know who this is, let's go inspect it. Those air traffic controller folks got a lot of better things to do than figuring out who's in their airspace. If you tell them, they know. Well, just so happens that after that happens, they plot the course they're going to take. Of course, they have to steer around restricted airspace, and they have to go in a certain flight pattern to get where they're going. Now, if you're going to start, say, in Los Angeles, and I'm not saying you're going to start in Los Angeles, but if you were, and you were to fly to New York, you would set that flight plan. Now the question is, how often do you think a plane is off course when it's on that flight plan? You guys know, don't you? It's off course over 95% of the time. Why? Well, due to other airplanes, due to wind and other things. But somehow or another, it seems to get where it's going. Why? Because each time it comes off its course, it goes right back to where it was supposed to be. It may have a straight heading, but the wind will blow it off. It comes back to its heading again. And it keeps coming back. Coming back. Each time it goes off, it comes right back to the flight plan. As long as you keep doing that, you'll get where you're going. And why is that so important? Because if you notice, in an airport, planes land on the runway. That's important. If they don't land on the runway, they crash. If they don't keep coming back to the flight plan, they're going to miss the runway. That's important. Now, let's imagine our life with Christ. We start where we're at. We're trying to get into a perfect relationship with Him, which is our joy. And somewhere along the way, we start walking with Him when we have that relationship. But guess what? The enemy comes against us. The winds of adversity. Other people invade our airspace, if you will. And we get off course. Things come up. Things happen in our life, and we don't stay on that perfect relationship course. So what do? If we're perfectionists, we say, I can't be perfect. Only Jesus can. And we say, so we excuse it. But we don't have to do that. We can keep coming back to that relationship. And coming back to that to get us where we're going. Some of you may like Stephen Covey. I really like his work. He talks about a lot of different things in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of the number one habits is first things first. That if you put the first thing first, everything else will fall into line. Another way he says that is that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You like that? Another way he says it is, what matters most should never be at the mercy of what matters the least. Always do the right thing, the first thing, first, and everything else will take care of itself. Unfortunately, life sometimes gets in the way. Sometimes we make very good intentional plans, and we know that this would please God, and some reason or another, we get an interruption. Lord, for an hour I'm going to pray and be with you, and I'm going to do this, and the phone rings. Or someone knocks at the door. The repairman comes by, or the exterminator, or someone comes by and has an emergency, and you go, Lord, I messed up. I no longer feel like I can feel like I'm worthy today. Or whatever you want to say to yourself, because you didn't do what you said you would do. But I promise you, God knows all about those interruptions before they ever happen. And when we get off track, it's not a test of if we're perfect or not. It's a test of character. If we have enough character to say, Lord, that is what you want me to do. You knew it was going to happen. I'll get back on track and stay with you. You know why? Because no matter what happens in your life, God is already there. You say, well, God, I was going to do this for you today, and I can't do it, and I'm all frustrated. And God says, well, I know about that. Just let that happen. Whoever it is that came to your door, maybe you need to minister to them, and I want you to talk to them. And your plans with me are your plans with me. But my plans for you are this today. I was once at a leadership training course for a group of pastors. And he said, you ever have a day where you're trying to work on a sermon or write an article or do something and all you do is get interruptions? And everybody raised their hand. Yes! And he said, the interruptions are your ministry. The interruptions are what makes your life move forward. Those are the challenges that you face with grace. Makes sense, doesn't it? So the next day, before I left that place, by the way, I said, Lord, show me this principle is true. The next day, I was working on something and I got a phone call. It was a friend of mine who always talked 10 hours. And I said, Lord, here it is. And he said, listen to what they mean rather than what they say this time. And maybe your agenda can wait. this is my agenda. And I sat there for a moment watching the caller ID. And I said, you're right. And I picked up the phone, and the person on the other end of the line said, hey, how you doing? I have a problem. And I listened. And for the first time in that entire conversation history with that person, I listened. Instead of trying to solve problems, I listened. I'm a guy who likes to solve problems. A lot of times people just want someone to listen. And so I listened. 10 minutes later, they said, you know, I really appreciate you listening. Thank you for your time. You're probably doing something. Goodbye. I only said like 5 words. But I listened. And God said, remember the prayer you said yesterday? That interruption was your ministry. Sometimes the gift of listening is your ministry. The opportunity for someone to be heard. Do you know that one time a friend of mine called, and it's a single mother with 5 kids, all under the age of 12. And she called and said, I just want to talk to an adult. You know, after a week with my kids this last week, I started to talk to an adult and I said, man, I have to change my level of thinking because I've been thinking age 11. And I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but all of a sudden, here's someone with some concrete and abstract thoughts rather than my brother's doing this. I'm not in problem-solving mode. I can relax. But that's what happens. Your ministry is in those interruptions. God's trying to show you something. Did you know that every single day, God has something for you to learn? He has a blessing for you every day. Treasured in Lamentations, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Those mercies are lessons of love. And God wants to show us how He loves us each and every day. But if we're so off course that we don't see that as God in our life, we'll never get where we're going. And God's trying to distract us enough from our own agendas to get back to His. Here's the thing. If your priority is not God, you're going to get where you're going. If your priority is God, He's going to shake you loose from that, however He has to do that, and get you where He wants you to go. And if God has blessed you with relationship with Him, He's going to do something for you that you may not like. He's going to change your priorities. And until He does, you're in idle. You cannot grow forward and get greater responsibility and more blessing from God and increase your prosperity as Jabez prayed for until you begin to be obedient to what He's asked you to do. You can go sideways, left or right, but you can't go forward and grow because He wants you to learn something. You won't go backwards because God's got you held in neutral. You're just stuck. And for me, I don't know about you, but for me, I want all God has for me. And the greatest thing God's had to teach me is to be obedient immediately. God's not late. And He's not early. Someone will say, God asked me to do this and I'm not ready yet. Well, then why did God ask you if you're not ready? Was He wrong? Well, sometimes God will say, I'm going to have you do this. But usually He'll say, do this now. I know a friend of mine, I didn't know this person at the time, but a friend now. I was driving down the road of the street I used to live on, and there was a wreck. And I said, oh, a wreck, well, that's tragic. And the Lord said, stop and pray. And I said, okay, I will, I'll stop. He says, no, not later, now. So I pulled off the side of the road, and I prayed for whoever was in that wreck. I remember the date, the time, I wrote it down, and then about 4 months later, I had a knock on my door. I was getting life insurance. And you know what they do when you get life insurance? They make sure you're not going to die. So they send you a nurse around. And she comes to my door, and she says, you know, I've been down this road before. And I said, when? She said, well, it was about 4 months ago. It was a big, bad wreck that day. I said, yeah, I remember that wreck. She said, that was me. And I said, really? And I said, well, you know, I saw that wreck, And I immediately stopped and prayed. She said, "You did?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "The moment that I had that wreck, I was about to die. As a matter of fact, the paramedics were getting ready to cover me up." And she said, "I was about to drift away, and the Lord heard a prayer for me." At that moment, they revived me. A half a minute later would have been too late. I had no idea at the moment that the prayer that I had would be effective for this person's life. It may have been somebody else praying. But I believe that if God asks us to be obedient to something, we do it. If there's an old friend we haven't talked to in years comes across your heart, that's God saying, pray for them. Call them. Talk to them. Don't take it as a, "Oh, I wonder why that's there." Take it as a sign. Pray for them immediately and call them shortly later and say, "I just prayed for you." I can tell you countless numbers of times I've done that. People hundreds of miles away who I've called immediately later after I've prayed and said, "I've been praying for you. What's going on?" And every time they've said, "I needed it at that moment." Or, "I needed that call when you called." God does that to increase your blessing. Because when you're obedient, He gives you more responsibility. Now listen to what David says in this psalm. I like this. It lines right up with this perfectly. He says, "That my enemies were coming against me, but they stumbled and they fell." Well, now I don't know about you, but if he wasn't praying, do you think that would have happened? Isn't it amazing how coincidental it is that the moment you turn to God, things start to change? You can say, "Well, God, I don't know why I prayed. It was already starting to happen already." No, it wasn't. God knew you were going to pray, and He was ready to make events change if you would just pray. You say, "Oh, I don't believe that." You think about Nineveh. You think about the destruction that God had planned for that city. And God said, "This city is going to be destroyed." And they all repented from the word of Jonah. They all repented, and God says, "I relent from what I was going to do." And He blessed that city. He let them live. Spared them for many, many more years. Because they repented out of one man's obedience. So imagine if God puts you in the place and says, "If you're in the right direction and you keep coming back to what I've asked you to do, and you're obedient, blessings will happen." Did you know that happiness is not a destination? Did you know that? It's not a place. If you have to wait until you're retired, and some folks go, "Yeah, that makes you happy. Got more work to do now than I did when I was working." Or maybe it's, "As soon as I get my son out of my house, I'll be happy." Or maybe it's, "When I get out of mom's house, I'll be happy." Let me tell you something. External things don't make you happy. It's inside, knowing that you have a place you belong and that you matter and you make a difference, that gives you a sense of place and purpose. When you begin to get to that place, you can say, "The only thing I desire is I inquire of the Lord in my temple." We are the temple of God. So when we begin to inquire of the Lord, and that's what David said, "I wish to inquire of the Lord in the temple, I wish to have the Lord in me." And that's what I desire, to seek Him inside me, to find that relationship there. It's amazing to me that we work so hard to find a peace that's free, to have joy that's available constantly. I don't know about you, but I have learned that when we come to God for a blessing, that He knows how to do it. That He wants to bless us. That all we do is receive it or shut the door. One or the other. If you really know what that one thing is that gives you joy, if it really is one thing that does that, then put that first. I promise you, there's nobody on their tombstone going to say, I wish I'd spent more time at work. But there may be a time when you say, I wish I'd have spent more time with family or more time with God. But those options are yours now. You can't remake them for the past, but you can start today and say, one thing is most important to me. One relationship will I protect, and that relationship will I keep coming back to. And when I do, God will get me where I'm going. This is the beauty of it. God will get you there. You don't have to worry about it. You just keep that relationship first. Now it sounds easy, doesn't it? Try it. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, you say, taste and see that I am good. May we taste of your joy. And may we keep coming back for more. Because that's the only joy that satisfies. It's the only life that makes sense. It's the life that you've given us. May we find it now and continue to express it every moment of our lives. Heavenly Father, touch us now. Help us to make our lives surrendered unto you completely. In Jesus' name. Amen.